In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Congratulations on completing 5 weeks of the journey through the joyful period of the Pentecost. The Pentecost is, as you know, 50 days. Starts with the first day being the resurrection of the Lord, and then we have 7 more weeks until we reach which feast? What feast do we celebrate at the end of the Pentecost? The Feast of the Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit on the church. So now we have passed 5 weeks, so God willing, in 2 more weeks, we celebrate the birthday of the church or the Feast of the Pentecost or the descent of the Holy Spirit on the church. So that's the 50-day joyful period we are in. We are now in the finishing the fifth week. So we have passed the resurrection plus 5 weeks. And so we are 36 days into the Pentecost. What feast do we celebrate in 4 more days? In 40 days after the Lord rose from the dead, what happened? Ascension, the Feast of the Ascension. So the period of 50 days begins with the major feast of the resurrection or Easter. Then 40 days later, we have the Feast of the Ascension. Then another 10 days taking us to the end of the 50 days, the descent of the Holy Spirit or the Feast of the Pentecost. As you know, it is a very joyful period. The disciples rejoiced or were glad when they saw the Lord. And as you hear in the church, we are celebrating in what we call the joyful melody or the joyful tune. Lots of usage of cymbals, and the tunes are in a very joyful chant. And as you see, the church is decorated with white crosses and with flowers like a wedding. Because when the Lord rose from the dead, you all know he opened the gates of paradise, leading us to be reunited with the heavenly. So we are rejoicing for 50 days. Today, like we said, is the fifth Sunday. And as you heard, in the fifth Sunday, the Lord declares and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But before we speak about the Lord's words from this Sunday, let's quickly review the 5 Sundays of Pentecost that we have reached through. The first Sunday was known as what? 1 week after the resurrection on the 8th day, we celebrated a feast known as Thomas Sunday. I want to make sure everyone is awake with me. Thomas Sunday. In Thomas Sunday, I'll just read to you one verse from the scripture, and we're going to read a verse from each of the 5 Sundays, and please pay attention because there's a common word or a common theme throughout the 5 Sundays. In the first Sunday, the Lord says, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So that's the first Sunday. The Sunday after, the second Sunday of Pentecost, we hear the Lord saying, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That's the second Sunday. The third Sunday, the Lord speaks to the Samaritan woman. And as you see, he describes himself. He tells her about living water. And he tells her about the living water. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. And you recall the end of the story, how she preached to the whole town. And then the Samaritan said to the woman, now we believe. Not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The fourth Sunday, 1 week ago, we heard the Lord, the true light, say, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And as you heard in the reading that was just read to us, the Lord tells us today, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And Jesus clearly states that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So those were quickly the five Sundays. Did anyone catch a common word that was repeated in each of the verses that were just read? Believe. From the very first, from Thomas Sunday, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And then in the second Sunday, he is the bread of life. He says, he who believes in me shall never thirst. The third Sunday, he says, the woman preached to the Samaritans, and then they said, now we believe. Last Sunday, when the Lord describes himself and talks about the true light, he says, whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And today, the Lord says, you believe in God, meaning you believe in God the Father, believe also in me. So the Lord says, don't be unbelieving, but believe. Do you believe him? Do you believe the Lord? Some say, of course, yes. You believe him. If you believe him, you also have to believe in him. It's not enough to believe his words, but we need to believe in him. Believe in him how? So first, we believe him when he says that you shall never hunger, okay? If you believe that he says you shall never hunger, then you have to believe in him as the bread of life. We are fortunate and blessed to be in an Orthodox church that highly esteems the sacrament of communion. We come here on Sundays and in any liturgy, and the pinnacle of our service is not just the readings and prayers and intercessions, but it is partaking of the Lord's body and blood. We believe in him as the bread of life. Similarly, when the Lord says, you shall never thirst, then we believe in him able to give us the living water. If we believe him when he says, you shall not abide in darkness, then we have to believe in him as the true light. And as Abuna told us, the physical light here is on the outside and it reflects and we're able to see because of the light. But the true light of Christ is within us. So it's not dependent on our physical abilities. It is within us. Christ, the true light. And today, if we believe him when he says, your hearts will not be troubled, then we have to believe in him as the way, the truth, and the life. Let's just read again a few of the verses from John chapter 14 at the beginning of today's gospel. John 14, 15, and 16, we mentioned before, are parts of John's gospel that are known as the chapters of the Paraclete. Paraclete is a Greek word meaning comforter or helper, referring to the Spirit of comfort or the Holy Spirit. Like we said, we're going to celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit, God willing, in 2 weeks. In these chapters, the Lord introduces his disciples to that term, parakletos, Holy Spirit of comfort, because he's about to depart from them physically, and he's telling them, I will not leave you orphans, and the Spirit of truth will come upon you. The Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Glory be to God forever. Amen. The Lord leaves no room for ambiguity. He says definitively, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he also emphasizes, you cannot reach the Father except through Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way in a practical sense. the only way to reach heaven and God's heavenly kingdom, God the Father. I am the truth. There's no other truth that can satisfy your intellect and bring you into unity with God's way of thinking. I am the life, because without me you cannot live a true life that lasts eternally forever. And where I'm going, you know, the Lord says to us, now you cannot say you do not know where he is going. He says he's going to prepare a place for you and he's coming to take you where he is. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the way you know, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. I said we're fortunate to be in an Orthodox church, and we have many of what are called heroes of faith. We have two icons of heroes of faith here in our church. Does anyone know who, say, one of the two icons here, this one on the left? Saint Athanasius, the apostolic, and Saint Cyril, the pillar of faith. Saint Athanasius, the apostolic, as you know, is credited with writing the Orthodox Creed, or the creed that's recited in all the Christian churches. And Saint Cyril, the pillar of faith. We'll come back because we have some contemplations from them, but we also have saints like Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine says, when the Lord says, I am the way, he's saying, I am the way whereby you would go. When he says, I am the truth whereto you will go. And I am the life in which you abide living forever. So I am the way how. I am the way is how to get there. I am the truth is where you will go. And I am the life is where or when or what you will abide in eternally. And for humanity, I am the way, again, is in a very practical sense. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden. Why, Lord, why should we come to you? Because I will give you rest. Are any of us these days feeling tired or needing rest or sometimes feeling fed up or burnt out or frustrated or heavy laden, depressed, confused, shattered, or lost? He says, I am the way. I can give you rest. He calls to each of us personally and all of us universally. For our minds, he says, I am the truth. Are you searching for the truth? Are you looking for ideologies to satisfy your thoughts and your minds? Are you looking for deep answers to questions like the meaning of life? Only he has the true meaning, because he can give you true understanding, because anything outside of him is not truth. He says, I am the truth. And even if some strange teachings or ideologies can draw people away for a period of time, unfortunately, as you know, they would draw them away to perdition, not to life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, because he is the source and author of life. And now we want to conclude by listening to Saint Cyril, the pillar of faith, who was one of our great patriarchs and had many written and translated teachings, to understand from him some practical advice. When the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what does it mean for me on a day-to-day basis? What should I do to respond if I acknowledge that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and I believe him, and I believe in him? Three things Pope Cyril, the pillar of faith, and Bekirullah Amuddin, he tells us three things we are to do. The first is to practice every kind of virtue. What is a virtue? Virtue are good things. The opposite of virtue is vice. Vices are bad things. So we want to stop doing the bad things and try to do more of the good things. What are some examples of virtues? Kindness, humility, purity, telling the truth, honesty, love, giving, forgiving. So there's many, many, many virtues. There are many, many, many virtues, and unfortunately there's also many, many, many vices. in St. Paul's letter to Timothy, in just one chapter and a few verses, which is often read in our church, I counted 36 negative things. St. Paul mentions 36 vices and 36 virtues. So if you read the scripture carefully, you will find that there's many things that we often take for granted, that we think they're small mistakes, but they're actually vices. And there are many things we don't realize that they're important for us to labor in order to attain, but there are many virtues. Let's focus on the positive. We want to practice every kind of virtue. And this is because the Lord says, I am the way. If he is the way, we want to follow his way. So following his way is following what the Lord himself would do. There's this saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If you're in a situation and you're not sure what to do, what would the Lord do? Or what would you do if the Lord was here with you? Practice every kind of virtue is the first advice that the forefathers gave us. The second advice is to keep the faith in the right doctrine. Keep the faith in the right doctrine. And again, here we are blessed to be in an Orthodox church, and we mentioned St. Athanasius having written for us the Orthodox Creed. So if there's any confusion about what we believe, the creed is not like so much a legal document as much as it is a confession of God's love for us, our faith in him, and our hope in him. If you look at the creed begins, we believe in, you're going to all recite the creed after as we begin the next part of the liturgy. So we believe in God the Father and his Son. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him would not die but would have eternal life. So when you read the creed or when you recite the creed and the importance of the creed as it's placed for us in our liturgies and in our daily prayers, it's important to contemplate on all the different parts of the creed. Have faith in the right doctrine. Don't fall aside to different teachings that are outside that of the Lord in his scripture and as handed down to us by the church throughout many generations. That's number two. Number one was practice every kind of virtue. Number two, be grounded and have faith in the right doctrine. Number three is to have hope of the life to come. So we said practice virtues, keep to the right faith and doctrine, have hope in the life to come. And many of us have hope in many things. We hope to have a successful life. We hope that our children will be married to good people. We hope to have grandchildren. Perhaps we hope to have a comfortable life. Nothing wrong with all those hopes. But those hopes need to be grounded or more focused or secondary to a greater hope. Because if we only hope for things in this life, then St. Paul says, if we only have hope in Christ in this life, then we are the most pitiable of all people. Because it means we've lost our perspective. He's going to prepare a place for us in his kingdom. God the Father has given his Son to us. The Son has given himself to us. The Holy Spirit has come and dwelt in us. So we can have hope in other things, but most importantly, we need to have hope in the life to come, because that's the whole purpose of all these other things. So have hope in the life to come. Like I said, we're going to recite the creed in a few minutes, and the very last part of the creed, we all chant. And that is a summary of our hope. What do we say at the very end of the creed? We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. And that's why many of us who have loved ones who have departed and gone ahead of us into paradise and the heavenly glories, we, of course, are sad to lose our loved ones, but we rejoice for them because we know where they're going is better than where we are here. And we say that the church has two parts. They're part of the victorious church because they've labored and they've made it and they've passed. They haven't died, they've departed to the land of the living waiting for us in the paradise. And we are here in the struggling church. We're struggling to follow their path. They followed the way, the truth, and the life, and we are following him as well, so we will be reunited. So practice every kind of virtue, because he is the way. Follow his way. Keep to the orthodox doctrine of faith, because he is the truth. And as he is the life, have hope in the glorious life to come. Believe Jesus and believe in Jesus as the only way, truth, and life. And may the Lord help all of us to live a virtuous life, following him as the way, a life full of the true faith as Orthodox Christians, and to be full of hope in the everlasting life to come. To God alone be glory forever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pantocrator, who created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God, begotten, not created. One essence with the Father, by whom all things were made. If our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and became man, and he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. Sit at the right hand of his Father, and he is coming again in his glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the life-giver, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. In one holy Catholic apostolic church, we confess one baptism for remission of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen.
Ebi prosof ki stasi te.
Mirini pa.
Thank you.